Greetings, people loved by God. Welcome everybody to worship on this, the 16th weekend after Pentecost. Whether you're worshiping here in the building today or online through our video or on KFUO, welcome everybody to worship. For those who are listening or who are watching online, the bulletin for this service you can find on our website, chapelofthecross.org, under the Resources tab there on the homepage. And you can give your offering to the Lord and His church through the Give tab there on the homepage of the website. You may also just mail in your offering to the church office. One important announcement to share for all of us before we begin worship tonight. Next Sunday, September 27th, we will once again hold worship service outside for our Sunday morning service only. So the 8:30 and 11 o'clock services on the 27th, weather permitting, of course. We ask that you still call and register for worship so we know how many chairs to get ready. You may also bring your own lawn chair if you wish, if that's more comfortable for you. We also will maintain social distancing guidelines and still wear a mask. Although, since we are outside, we will be singing all of our hymns together. So that's a little different from our indoor worships, and that's always a joy to be able to do. If you're uncomfortable walking on the grass, knowing that some of that lawn is a little uneven, there will be space on the paved driveway there for you to sit. The Saturday evening service, a week from today, at the 5 p.m. September 26th service, that will be held as normal here in the sanctuary. May God bless our worship this day as we begin our worship by listening to our opening hymn, Hark the Voice of Jesus Calling, number 827 in Lutheran Service Book.
So rich. name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name.
Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die and to rise for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, you call us to work in your vineyard. Supply us with diligence for tasks in your kingdom, always rejoicing with those whom your Spirit has come. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. A reading from Isaiah. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Philippians. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. For I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether in life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for me and for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We rise in body and spirit for the reading of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into the vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers, who were hired about the 11th hour, came, and each received a denarius. So when those who were hired first came, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So, the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We make witness of our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who, for us men, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The first will be last, and the last will be first, Jesus often says. And God's got a way of doing the unexpected, the opposite of what we think should be. He turns things backwards. Or maybe we are the ones who turn things backwards. In the parable of the workers in the vineyards, the workers find everything so unfair. And to tell you the truth, I really don't blame them. When the master pays them the same as those who haven't worked very long, they whine and they complain. They find that the master's sense of justice doesn't always line up with their own. And we can relate, can't we? From an early age, we get a sense of what is fair. We have that ingrained in us somehow. Now, how many times in my life as a father have I heard my children tell me that my parental policies, that my decisions are not fair? I can't even begin to give you a number on that. Everything's got to be fair. And not just for the kids. Everything. At work, everything at home, everything at school, everything in life, everything's got to be fair. And then Jesus comes along in this gospel reading for today and this parable of the workers in the vineyard, and he says to you and to me that this God that we serve, the one true God, all-powerful, the one who knows everything, the one who sees everything, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is absolutely, totally unfair in the way he deals with mankind. It's true. God is unfair. No question about it. And you will see why. Jesus had just talked to a rich young man who had come to him asking what he needed to gain eternal life. And knowing what his stumbling block was, Jesus said that he should go and sell all that he had and then come and follow him. And the man just couldn't do it. The Bible says that he went away very sad. Peter, of course, had been watching what was going on very carefully. And he probably thought to himself, well, that guy, he seemed to have it all together, except being too much in love with his money. Us disciples, well, we're better than that, because we're dirt poor. We should be the cream of the crop in heaven. We've been here since the beginning. We are charter members, for crying out loud. We're Jesus' right-hand men. So it would only be fair that we would be number one in the kingdom of heaven too, right? And so Peter says to Jesus, what's there going to be for us? Well, Peter and the rest of the disciples are about to get a valuable lesson, and so are we. God isn't fair. At least not in the way we think about fairness. He does not treat people according to our standards of fairness. You know, those whom we think deserve nothing from God, they seem to get it all as they're invited by Jesus to repent and to believe. Remember Zacchaeus, the tax collector? Or Matthew, the tax collector, the author of this gospel? They're white-collar criminals. They skimmed off the top. They're doctoring the books. They get rich off of clever accounting schemes. But the Lord, he comes to them, and he says, follow me. Or how about the woman who is caught in the act of adultery? She's about to be stoned to death. And that's what was fair. That's what the law said. But Jesus stepped in. He says, whoever is without sin, let that person be the first to throw a stone at her. You know, he's always mixing it up with the you know, really kind of shady characters. The Samaritan woman by the well, the outcast lepers, the sick, the demon-possessed. They didn't deserve anything from God. And yet Jesus goes to them anyway, and he brings to them the gift of life. Well, Peter's question remains, what about us, Lord? What will it be like for us in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus says to Peter and to his other disciples, oh, you'll receive your reward. It's the reward of faith. It'll be wonderful. Something like you've never, ever even imagined. Your reward is eternal life. Your reward is the gift of heaven. But you're not going to be the only ones there, Peter. Everyone who believes in me will share in that beautiful bliss of eternity. And then our Lord speaks those famous words. The first will be last, and the last will be first. And as he so often did, Jesus illustrates his point with a little story. We call it the parable of the workers in the vineyard. It was harvest time for the grapes. And the grapes, that grape harvest, the kind that came quickly in Palestine, actually right around this time of the year, late September, it was important that the grapes be harvested before the rains came. And if they weren't harvested, well, then they would just lose the crop. They'd be ruined. So it was a race against time. Either harvest the grapes or just lose your crop. And anyone who could work did, even if it was just for an hour or two out in the fields. And it was very common in that day for the laborers to gather at the market to wait for somebody who needed some extra hand to go to their farm or to their fields. And they were waiting for a man just like this guy, the owner of the vineyard. And he went out to that market to find workers to harvest his grapes. In fact, he goes out there a few times, five times that day. Early in the morning, 9 a.m., at noon, at 3 p.m., and again at 5. And he gathers the men, and they work in his fields. And at the end of the day, he paid them. Now, everything about that story is really kind of normal for the disciples, except for the part in the story when the paychecks come. That's strange. In fact, it's not just strange. It wasn't fair. The landowner first paid the men who had worked the shortest amount of time. He gave them one denarius, a full day's wage. And that's incredible. He paid them a full day's wage, even though they had only worked a very, very short time. So when the other workers saw what he had paid them, they thought, oh, yeah, we're going to rake it in tonight. Boss is being generous. The next group comes, and they get paid. And it's the same, one denarius. And then the next group, and the next, all the same, one denarius. And they said, well, that doesn't make sense. That's not fair. And we would say the same thing. I know I would, wouldn't you? It's not fair. In fact, I think a business today might get in some trouble doing something like that. And why? Well, because it's not fair. Or is it? You know, you look carefully, you see that the owner of the vineyard didn't do anything wrong, really. He paid the help what they had agreed on as a fair wage at the beginning of the day. It was his money, right? He could pay the others exactly or whatever he wanted to do. But the workers grumbled. They grumbled at the vineyard owner's generosity. They grumbled quite simply because they were very envious and they were very jealous of the men who had worked for a very short amount of time, but they had been paid just the same as them. And which one of us wouldn't be grumbling right along with them if we were in their shoes? You know, by our very nature as sinful human beings, we're jealous people. We're envious people. And so we're even jealous when our Lord says, well, I'll take anyone into my kingdom. Anyone who believes in me as their Lord and Savior, I will take him. And we think, seriously, Lord? Anyone? Really? Are you sure? There's a lot of riffraff out there. Anyone? Anyone, says the Lord. But that's not fair. It's not fair because I've been a better person. I've been a Christian my whole life. I've been going to church every single weekend, not like the other guy. I'll still take him, he says. See, our idea of fairness is based on a work ethic which says you get what you deserve. God doesn't work on that work ethic. God works on the principle of grace, and the principle of grace says you get what you don't deserve. You know what? Every single one of us is undeserving. Not a single person on this earth deserves to go to heaven. Not a single person deserves to be God's child. But our Lord comes to us and he gives us that gift which is totally undeserved, totally unmerited, totally unearned. He gives us salvation. He gives us eternity. He gives us forgiveness through Jesus' death on the cross. He gives us his love, a love given in equal measure to all, regardless of how long or how well each Christian has worked for God. He gives to the educated, he gives to the illiterate, he gives to the male, he gives to the female, he gives to the rich, he gives to the poor. Each is invited to share eternity with him. And it isn't fair. Don't think that it's fair. It's not fair. You know, if our God was a fair God, we'd all be bound for hell right now. So it's not fair that God has shown us mercy. It's not fair that God gives us chance after chance after chance after chance when we fail him. It's not fair that God sent his only son to die for you and for me. It's not fair that Jesus has said, no matter what, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. It's not fair that God bends his ear from his throne every time you want to say a little word to him. It's not fair that we're going to live forever in a place called heaven. It's not fair that we will rise on the last day to the praise and the glory of God. It's just not fair. But God is not fair. Oh, thank God he's not fair. Thank God that his goodness and his generosity are far beyond our simple and our sinful fairness systems. His love and his forgiveness and his salvation are offered freely to you, to everyone. By grace, you have been saved by his undeserved, unearned, unfair grace. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
We rise in body and spirit to pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all according to their needs. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we place into your care this church and its mission to share the good news of Jesus Christ to a lost world. Fill the people of this congregation with the zeal to bear witness to the one true faith in our daily speech and actions. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Heavenly Father, direct the leaders of this world to use the wisdom and skill you have given them for the good of all people. Keep them from being corrupted by power, and grant that they rightly use their authority so that all nations may live in peace. Make your presence known to the president, the governor of our state, and all our national and local officials. Give them wisdom and discernment. Lord, in your mercy. Living God, we place into your care the needs of those who are receiving treatment for cancer, as well as those struggling against other illnesses and infirmities. We especially remember before you today, Lord, Norm Deedy, as he's now under hospice care. Sustain him and all who are ill. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of life and ask that you move in us to celebrate, affirm, and protect this precious gift. We pray especially this day that you would bless the ministry of Lutherans for Life and the Life team here at Chapel of the Cross. Guard and guide those who speak for life and give them wisdom and encouragement to speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we give your comfort and peace to those who grieve and mourn. We especially remember this day the family and loved ones of John Seward, who died in the Lord last week Friday, and David Eggers and his family upon the death of his aunt and godmother, Jewel. Lord God, strengthen these families and their loved ones with your grace and your power. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take and eat the body of Christ for you. And drink of his precious blood poured out for the forgiveness of all of your sins. And may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and keep you in body and soul now and to everlasting life. Depart in his peace. Amen. We stand for prayer. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. We sing together our closing hymn.